God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the
Oh, yes. So glad to be with you on another Wednesday night. We all should give God the glory, the praise, and the honor for allowing us another opportunity and another privilege. To worship Him, to publicly thank Him and praise Him, to pray to Him with others and for others. Every chance we get, we ought to be grateful and we ought to be thankful. Tonight, dear friends, I want to continue to preach in your hearing the prayer that God will refuse to answer. The prayer that God will refuse to answer for every child of God, part 14, praying through the Bible, message number 504 in this series, the Praying Through the Bible series. That means 504 Wednesday nights we have been preaching on prayer. And I encourage all pastors to preach on prayer and actually lead the congregation in prayer on prayer meeting night. Prayer meeting night has taken a back seat. To the mega Sunday mornings in recent years. But any old body can meet on Sunday morning. You will find the real church on prayer, rather in prayer meeting, on prayer meeting night, and called noontime meetings, and called Saturday morning meetings, men's meetings, women's meetings, and on visitation day. They will be few in number, less than 1% in many cases of the crowd that comes on Sunday. But prayer meeting folk have always been the backbone of the church for hundreds of years. These are they who know God and who can get a hold of God and who God uses to hold the church together. Thank God for the faithful few. Thank God for the remnant church. Thank God for His 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They're oftentimes not seen. They're not known. But they're the cement that holds the church together. Because without prayer, nothing will be held together. Second Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. In other words, Paul is saying here, I do not want to brag. So I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Do you know sometimes a man of God has to deal with people who lack faith in such a way that sometimes he has to show them rather than tell them? And it may sound like bragging. Most, in fact, I would say all preachers who are truly called by God do not like resorting to that. But sometimes you got to remind some people. Sometimes you've got to tell some people where to get off at, and best way to tell them is listen to this right here, what God has done. And so Paul does it better than anybody. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body. He said that twice. I cannot tell. God knoweth. How many times you have had to, you found yourself having to say to people, God knoweth. God knoweth all about it. God knows the truth. You can say what you want to say about me. You can do to me what you want to do, but God knoweth. And I know of somebody in the body. I know of some other preachers that God has done wonderful things for that we do not even want to tell anybody because they wouldn't believe it. And guess what? They would think that we were bragging. If I told you, my wife and my children have heard me praise God and pray to God and thank God for millions of things, millions and many and manifold blessings. But there are things I haven't told them. There are things that I have not told anybody that God has done for me, because they wouldn't believe it, number one, because they lack faith. And number two, they would think that I was bragging because I'm just a mere human being. And they're right about that part. Paul said how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful, it's against the law, for a man to utter. What an experience. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. May I ask you a question tonight? Are you praying for something tonight that you have been praying for many years, and God has not answered that prayer? Think about it. I have news for you. God may not ever answer that prayer in your lifetime, because he has another purpose for your life. He may have that thorn in your flesh, as he did for Paul, to keep him humble. Now, here's a man, Paul, said it as wisely and as kindly and as humbly as he could. I went to heaven. I went to the third heaven where God dwells. And I saw things and I heard things that it is against the law for me to tell you about. And he was holding back then. And he saw many other revelations. He got so many revelations, we're reading his revelations to this day. As I stand here before you, we are reading the revelations that God gave to Paul, a man born out of due time. But he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. So what did God do to Paul with all of these revelations? He had to weigh him down with some infirmities, some pains, some false brethren, some Judases, some betrayers, people who forsook him for this present evil world. Not having even necessary things, family members and friends and the former brethren turning against him and looking for him to kill him, so much so that they had to let him down in a basket over the wall. They left him for dead. They had stoned him. Many believe that's the time he went to heaven. He died and went to heaven. I don't know. But what happened to Mitch McConnell today? Nobody stoned him, but he went somewhere. They said he froze. And Mitch McConnell may have died. We don't know. I never heard of people just standing up before the podium and just freezing, can't say anything, can't move. Maybe a similar situation, I don't know. Only he knows. But I would say to some of us, we need to know when to quit and turn it over to younger people. I believe pride drives many of us to do things that we're not equipped to do anymore. I told the Lord this morning, my wife was right there praying with me. Hopefully she was praying. She might have been asleep. I don't know. But we normally pray together. And I told the Lord, I believe she heard this. I said, Lord, help me not to think that I'm 23 when I'm actually 63. I do believe people have a problem with that, because we may feel good in our spirit, but our body is saying, you're not 23 anymore. We may even feel good in our minds, but even our minds will holler back and say, you're not 23 anymore. I do believe, especially baby boomers, have a problem with this big time. We think we're younger than what we are. Some of us think we're still in high school. Some of us think we're still in college. And so many of us have never grown up. But back to the message. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. In other words, Paul prayed about it three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, my illnesses, my sickness. Now, the prosperity gospel folks are not going to buy this passage. The prosperity gospel folks will take all kinds of potions and drugs and get their faces pulled so tight, plastic surgery and Botox and everything else to try to look like they're still 23, because they can't even accept the fact that they're going to die. But they are, and they are dying. And they will fight till the end, holding on to a lie, because they refuse to even believe that they can grow old. They refuse to believe that they're going to die. Some prosperity gospel people died during the coronavirus plague, and they refused it. They refused to accept it to the very end. This is a sickness to think like that, people. Paul accepted his infirmities. He said, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Infirmities means sicknesses and weaknesses. Things that you cannot do anything about, the only somebody who can do something about it is God. Isn't that right? Big. Big folks. Can I get some amens? I thank you for the amens I've already seen. Somebody say that we must accept reality. We must stop lying to ourselves, because that's who we're lying to. We're not lying to anybody else. Or we are trying to lie to other people, but they already got our number. Can I get an amen? Come on, big. I need your support. I need your prayers on this Wednesday night. I know you don't agree with everything I say. I know you don't like some of the things I say, but and I know some of you are saying, "Preacher, why you always rub the cat the wrong way?" And Dr. Billy Sunday said, "I'm not rubbing the cat the wrong way. Tell the cat to turn around." We all need to confess our sins and repent. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches, people going against me, people lying on me, family members betraying me, friends talking against me. Necessities, in necessities. Make sure this right here. Right here. Necessities mean when you don't even have the basic things. You don't even have water to drink. You don't even have food to eat. You don't even have enough money to wash your clothes. You can't even buy detergent. If you wash your clothes, you have to wash them in a creek. If you wash your clothes, you gotta borrow from Peter to pay Paul. And I know some people in the family, out of the family, I cannot tell, who will steal from Peter to pay Paul. And if they don't have any soap powder, they'll use whatever soap's in the house. Soap that's supposed to be in the shower. Soap that's supposed to be there to wash dishes. And I know some people who will use dishwashing liquid to bathe in. They don't have the, what we would consider in America, the necessities. In persecutions, persecuted by the people in the church, the religious crowd, persecuted by the people in the world, persecuted by your own family members, who used to love you, now they hate your guts because you stand for God and for Jesus and the Word of God. In distresses, constantly in difficulties, constantly in troubles. And this is where my dad and mom and thousands of other black folk got the words back in the 60s. If it's not one thing, it's another. For Christ's sake, For when I am weak, Paul said, then am I strong. Let me tell you something about this weakness. We don't like this feeling of weakness, do we? But, oh, if you are a child of God especially, and even people who are not children of God, people who are not saved, you're going to feel this weakness one day. It's not a good feeling. Why? Because we want to be robust and we're, you know, we're proud and we're arrogant and we're powerful. I often wonder why the prophets of the Bible are all, in most cases, poor. Poor. How is it that Elijah, who could control the weather, if you will, under God, and defeat hundreds of false prophets and bring down fire from heaven, why did he feel so weak? He ran away from Jezebel and had to be fed directly by God through a bird. Elisha, another great prophet who raised the dead, was poor and depended upon an extremely poor woman to do something, and he helped her. And had to be taken care of by a family. They give me my portion first, and then God will take care of you. And Jesus Christ, the greatest prophet of all time, he said himself, he created the universe. He created you and me. And yet, he had no place to lay his head. He was criticized and abused. Almost from the time he started his ministry, they wanted to kill him. Who? The religious people. Do you know most sinners don't want to kill me? It's just the church folks. Pastors and pastors' wives who hate my guts, because I have revealed their hypocrisy, their lies, and their phoniness. A gentleman who is the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today just came out with a book, and basically the thesis of the book, and it's a good thesis, a good idea. It's, and basically he says the church needs to stop lying and come back to the altar, confess their sins, their lies, their hypocrisy, and repent. I said, I can get with that. He and I, we're not, I don't think we're getting along that well right now. But I told him publicly, if you don't leave me and join the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those who go against God and the Word of God, then I won't leave you. But that's a good point that he made. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And what I want to say to you here is that as a child of God, you will realize that you are weak and you need strength. And this is why God invites us to the throne of grace, his throne of grace. This is why he tells us repeatedly from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament, pray without ceasing. Continue instant in prayer. Pray always. Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus Christ gave these words, which I have lived by for over 43 years, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For you see, my beloved, in our flesh, in my flesh, and I have struggled with this in my Christian life, and that is, I don't like feeling weak. I don't like, in my flesh, having to be totally dependent upon God Almighty. I don't like not being able to be a mover and shaker. And most of us as Christians, we struggle with that. But it is the way of the Christian life. That doesn't mean that we are lazy. It doesn't mean that we need to stop working. It's not a license to be lazy and to stop working and to stop envisioning and planning. But God has got to be at the tip top. God has got to be number one, and we must get our strength and our leadership and our guidance from God Almighty. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, help everyone, Lord, on the big to pray, and on our other audiences, on DanielWhite3.com, GospelLightSociety.com, Facebook, x3, Gospel Light Society Facebook, DanielWhite3 Facebook, BCNN1 Facebook. BCNN1.com and many other places. Help everybody to bow and pray. It goes against our flesh. It goes against our pride. But Lord, help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our sins. Lord, instead of worrying all the time, Lord, help your people to pray all of the time. Write that down. Write that down. Instead of worrying all the time, Lord, help your people to pray all of the time as you have commanded us to do. Holy Father God, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I praise you. Hopefully we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. For your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, your Holy Word. And for the millions and the many and the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, I pray for all of the people who are with us tonight, that you will touch their hearts to depend upon you, to pray to you if they don't know you as Savior, to believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can be saved tonight. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for the millions, the many, and the manifold blessings that, Lord, you have bestowed upon us today and throughout our lives. I praise you, Holy Father God, for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. Lord, help all of us, especially in my family, but help all of us who are saved and born again around the world to remember what you have done for us in the past, day by day. For Lord, as you have shown me that a big part of prayer is praising you for what you have already done and for the answered prayers you've already given us, for along with your holy word and the power of your Holy Spirit, it increases our faith to pray afresh and anew. So Lord, help us to be grateful, help us to be thankful, and help us to pray always, as I have shared with my children today. And Holy Father God, I do pray. I pray that you will have mercy and grace upon us tonight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures, our disobedience, our rebelliousness against you, for very stupid reasons, bad attitudes, bad spirits, unrighteousness and all ungodliness of thought, word, deed, and attitude. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray that you will wash and cleanse our hearts, our minds, our souls, spirits, and consciences in the holy and precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Deliver us, Holy Father God, tonight. Each and every one of us who name the name of Christ on the big and on all other channels and outreaches, including on YouTube, including, Lord, on Rumble. Deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, and to do right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, even when we feel weak, help us, Lord, to be strong. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you would put a guard at our hearts, our minds, tongues, attitudes, and temperaments, that we would not sin against you tonight and throughout our lives in a very real sense, in word, thought, or deed. Deliver us, Holy Father God, tonight, that you would deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, do right, and act right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our sins and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, as you know and has been announced in this pulpit, I know that sweet evangelical pastors and sweet evangelicals, pastors' wives especially, don't like it. But my wife, Marika White, of over 35 years, has been a thorn in the flesh. I have seen, you have seen, and all of my children have seen her intentionally try to hinder your services in a very demonic fashion and way, as she did even tonight. And now that the children are gone and not having eyeballs on her and being influenced by her devilish family and others, she's intentionally trying to provoke an issue in our home, trying to keep me back, Lord, from preaching your holy gospel and your holy word. And it's all a satanic plot and a satanic plan. And I pray, as I, Lord, you have heard me tell her, if she is not going to honor you and respect you and obey you and your holy word, and honor and respect and obey her husband, I told her that it would be better for her, since the children are not here to witness her demonic actions, it would be better for her to go with her family or someplace else, because that is not a good situation. And so, Holy Father God, I pray this publicly tonight, because you're the only one who sees the evil that she does, along with me. And so, and I've been praying about this publicly for many years, and talking about it publicly for many years. And as I have told her and others, I believe that the only reason why Marika White, my wife, is still here after 35 years is because I'm the only one who's ever told her the truth. And because no one can have a relationship worthwhile without the truth. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will cast the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of Marika White, my wife, who is here and helping in the ministry, hopefully. I pray that you will rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts, Lord, from her heart, her mind, her soul, and her spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for showing me that she has been used as a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. I know that's not popular in the sweet evangelical and Southern Baptist circles. And I know this is one of the reasons why some of them don't stand with me and support me as they do some people who are divorced and remarried. My wife and I have been married for over 35 years, raised 7 children, and never have thought about getting a divorce. And it is something that, in the words of Rodney Queen, Pastor Rodney Queen, it is not up for discussion. And it's not an option, in other words. But because their wives don't want them to reveal the truth about how ugly and evil and mean they truly are behind the scenes, they're mad at me for doing it. But this is the reality in many homes, in many marriages, in many families, contrary to the lies that have been told on men. Lord, I am convinced that men are not the main problem in marriages today. if people would just take a cursory reading of your Holy Word, Old Testament and New Testament, you have shown great concern about the behavior of women. But the church and false pastors and false pastors' wives and false preachers, for advantage's sake, have lied to the church on men. And now even women are feeling sorry for some men and are concerned about men, that they don't have that fire in their belly. In fact, one black woman called men today lost. They have lost their way. And sad to say, so-called Christian pastors and counselors and pastors' wives who are now preaching over the men have beat them down so bad, and their mothers and mother-in-laws and wives have beat them down so bad. So many men today are lost. You showed me this problem going on, I guess, 20 years now. And that's the reason why you led me to write the book, Letters to Young Black Men. I saw so many men just losing their strength, losing their power. I saw my father abused by my mother, lied to and disrespected and talked to any kind of way. And sadly, that spirit has continued in the lives of husbands and wives and marriages and families, not only in the black community, but in the white community too. And so, Holy Father God, I pray, and I thank you for leading me and guiding me to tell men the truth and women the truth, starting with my own wife. And I've also used my own mother as a proverb. These are not the way things ought to be. This is not the way things ought to be. And so I thank you, Lord, for leading me to tell my wife the truth and where to get off at. And I thank you for leading me never, never, never to let her have her way or say what she say anything negative to me or disrespect me in any way, shape, form, or fashion in front of my children. And if she tried it, she was rebuked in front of her children. And I never, and I thank you most of all, that I have never let her hurt the children. For as I told her today, she never loved and cared for her children. And out of 7 children, not even one of them, she was too preoccupied with the devil and being used by the devil to try to hinder the ministry, which she never did. And so, Holy Father God, I thank you, as I thanked you this morning privately, I thank you now, as I thanked you yesterday privately, I thank you for my thorn in the flesh. Because even though she has hated all of the church services that we've ever had, and all of the ministry work that we've ever done, she has never been given the opportunity to hinder it. And what you did because of her trying to hinder it is you caused me and had me and led me to preach more than I ever even thought about preaching and pray more than I ever thought about praying. Because through your power and strength, you can even use a thorn in the flesh to produce more gospel preaching and more praying, and you did. She doesn't realize it to this day that if she was a good and godly and virtuous, obedient and faithful wife and mother, I would have never preached as much as I have, because I would have wanted to be with her. I would have never prayed as much. So thank you for using my thorn in the flesh to do even more work for your kingdom. The spiritual people in your church will understand that. Those who are not saved and born again will not. They would rather continue to tell the lies that everything is hunky-dory in my marriage and family. Everything is wonderful, and the prosperity gospel is alive and well, and so much so that I love my sweet thing, and my sweet thing loves me, and other such lies. And they will continue to lie like that until we read about them in the funny papers. And so, Holy Father God, help everybody to tell the truth. Because the truth has not only set, the truth will set everybody free. And I do pray that we would focus on the truth. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, that you will save the soul of my wife, Marika White. As you know, Lord, I've been praying for this for over 35 years. She made a strong profession of faith with tears on March the 4th of this year. But somehow it doesn't seem that it is sticking as it should. So I pray, Holy Father God, for her complete salvation. I pray for the salvation, Lord, of her mother, her aunts, and her siblings. I pray for the salvation, Lord, of my mother and my siblings and all family members. I pray, Holy Father God, for the salvation of all of my children, that they all would examine themselves and see whether or not they be in the faith. I thank you for leading them to you at the age of 7. And they've heard me pray the sinner's prayer thousands of times. They've heard me preach the gospel thousands of times. So, Lord, they know the gospel. They help get out the gospel thousands of times. And I thank you for the wonderful times we had together serving you. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that they would all have the assurance in the peace of their salvation. I'm praying a little bit harder for 2. But Lord, I believe most of my children are saved. And I pray that they would live out their salvation, that they would walk by faith and not by sight like they were taught. And I pray, Lord, that you will help them to love you back so that they will obey you. And Holy Father God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you would crush and crucify our flesh. And for those of us who are saved, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, give us sweet victory tonight over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the demons of hell. In fact, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell permanently, Lord, out of my wife, out of her mother, her aunts, and her siblings, and her family members, out of my mother, my siblings, and family members, and out of all of my children who may have that problem. Lord, cast the devil and the demons of hell out of their lives. I pray the same out of the lives of the people on the big network and on other outlets and networks who are with me tonight and who will be with me tonight on demand. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil permanently, and have us to walk freely in truth and in the power of your Holy Spirit, forsaking all sin. And Holy Father God, we pray tonight for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and the mourning in this country and around the globe. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and mourning. And Lord, we pray that you draw them to yourself for salvation. And Holy Father God, we pray tonight also that, Lord, you would deliver us all from all of our distresses and afflictions, tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions tonight, on this Wednesday night. And Holy Father God, deliver us from all of our spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems, troubles, and difficulties that we're facing, Lord, tonight. Holy Father God, I pray for not only ourselves, but I pray, Lord, for thousands, yea, millions of others who are in a tight spot tonight. Lord, work a divine miracle for us. Lord, and bless us and grant us all of the money that we need to pay all ministry bills and all other bills, debts, and obligations with ease. Our faith and our trust looks up to you. And no matter what happens, Lord, we are going to march on holding up the blood-stained banner. Let your will be done. And Holy Father God, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. Thank you, Lord, for remembering mercy, love, and grace, even in the midst of chastisement and rebuke. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight for all of my children and all other children in this audience and all other people in this audience and around the globe. Lord, protect us all from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. And Lord, place upon us tonight the whole armor of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us in the holy and precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Holy Father God, we pray that you would comfort the family that lost a family member for whatever reason on former President Obama's property. Lord, I don't understand it, but you know all about it. Holy Father God, we do not understand how an 18-year-old well-fed, gifted, and healthy young man could have cardiac arrest, experience cardiac arrest. Lord, but you know all about it. Comfort the LeBron James family and heal their child. And Lord, draw them closer to you through all of this. And Holy Father God, we pray for the families that have lost family members through the coronavirus plague. And the coronavirus plague is on the rise again. We pray for the many who have lost family members from the heat. Comfort them as only you can. Draw them to yourself for salvation. And lead them and guide them and direct them in the way that you want them to go. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, do not die without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Allow me to tell you the bad news, and then I'll tell you the good news. Bad news number one is that you are a wicked sinner, and so am I, so is the Pope, and so is the Dalai Lama, and so is Joel Osteen. We're all wicked sinners, for the Bible tells us so. The Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have sinned by lying. We have sinned by stealing. We have sinned by lusting. We have sinned by dishonoring and disobeying our parents. We have sinned by taking God's name in vain and lying on God. We have sinned by committing adultery. Many have sinned by committing adultery and fornication, and many have sinned by committing the abomination of homosexuality. And every last one of these sins will accompany you to hell and take you to hell. Bad news number two, we're going to die because of our sins. For the Bible, the Holy Bible says, the wages of sin is death. In other words, the punishment for our sins that I just named to you, and there are many more, is death. We die because of sin. We don't die because of a disease or a car accident or cardiac arrest. We die because of sin. Bad news number three. When we die, we're going to go to hell if we do not make arrangements before we die by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he hates us? No, because he loves us. You know that you're not going to go to heaven committing adultery, committing fornication, stealing, lying and robbing. You're not going to be breaking into buildings and places in heaven. You instinctively know that you need to confess your sins and repent. You already know God is not going to allow that. It's in your conscience, it's in your mind, it's in your spirit. You already know it. And so, you must go to hell. You must spend eternity in hell. And hell is a real place. However, you don't have to go to hell. That leads me to the good news. I gave you the bad news. Now here's the good news. Jesus Christ gave us the good news better than anybody else, for he is the good news. Jesus Christ said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world. And Jesus Christ said the most important words in the history of the world when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." My dear friend, all you have to do to get saved is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Church membership can't save you. Singing in the choir can't save you. Speaking in some unknown tongue can't save you. Doing good works cannot save you. Giving money to the church can't save you. Simply believing in Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who never did anything wrong, never did anybody else wrong, took upon all of our sins on his back and took them to the cross and became, as John the Baptist called him, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He paid your sin debt. He paid mine. And so all you have to do is look to him, believe in him, trust in him, have faith in him, and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save your soul. Follow me in the sinner's prayer, for the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, mean it from your heart. Only if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who paid your sin debt by dying on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. That is the gospel. Gospel means good news. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friend, and you shall be saved. Holy Father God, repeat after me. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner and that I have committed those sins that you mentioned tonight through your servant. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Based upon the words that Jesus Christ preached, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe in you. I trust in you. I have faith in you to save my wretched soul. Lord, I admit that I don't understand it all, but I do believe it all. Save my soul tonight as I believe in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins and turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen." Now, dear friends of mine, dear friends of mine on multiple audiences tonight, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, then according to the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Praise be to God. And so may I say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and praying and asking Him to save your soul and to change your life right where you are. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. I got saved in an Air Force dorm room, December the 19th, 1979. Around 8:30 at night. And so, dear friend, if God can save me, He can save anybody. And I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I want to help you to grow in the faith, so I have a free book for you, all of my friends on the big channel. Please go to Gospel Light Society and get your free book and pass it out to your friends as well. 2,279 of you, we thank God for you. And it's a free book. You can go there right now, all of you, to GospelLightSociety.com. And get your free book, download it wherever you want to download it. You don't have to steal it because it's free. The book is titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said, I am the door, and some of you entered in tonight through the door called Jesus. Read that little book and it will give you the next steps you ought to take as a new Christian. Most weeks I preach every day. This week I have to take a little break from every day. I appreciate some of you on the big asking me where I'm at. And some of you are asking me some other things. You know who you are. I've already told you. There's things I can do, things I can't. But I thank God for you. So get your book free, a free book. Take as many as you want, copy as many as you want, and pass them to your people. I don't want a dime for it. And then you can go to GospelLightSociety.com and tap on the podcasts. They're all free to listen to. You tap on the Gospel Light Society International podcast button and it will take you to thousands, literally thousands of podcasts that I have done, we have done here at Gospel Light Society that you can listen to anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts, at any time, free of charge. And they will help you to grow in the faith, dealing with nearly 50 different subjects. Thousands of podcasts, a lifetime of podcasts. And be blessed. Be encouraged in the faith. You will need it. Those of you who are newly born again, so avail yourselves to that. And so, dear friends, email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or email us at gls@GospelLightSociety.com. Let us know that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and you got saved. Let us know that so that we can rejoice with you and pray for you. And also let us know if we can pray for you about something else. Marriage problems, health problems. We all have these issues. And so get somebody to help you to pray about it. And we'll be glad to do so, as we have prayed for thousands of folks as a part of our ministry, gladly and by faith, and God has answered thousands of prayers. If you have any questions, email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or gls@gospellightsociety.com. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, pray for me as I pray for thee. Pray without ceasing. Read the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God all day long. One of the best ways to meditate on the Word of God is to pray without ceasing. God will remind you to read His Word and to meditate on it. Remember now, you are a soldier of the cross. So hold up the blood-stained Christian banner high. And remember the motto, and borrow the motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis, or Semper Fi. Be always faithful to the Lord. Remember the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force, Semper Supra. Always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord above. I challenge you to read the Psalms. The Psalms will teach you how to keep your mind on the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to cry out to the Lord. You'll be glad you did that. Read the Psalms. You can read the Psalms and read other books in the New Testament at the same time. My wife and I read 3 Psalms today, and they were back to back. And each one was short. To my surprise, not so much to my surprise, but to my wife's surprise, because as soon as I started reading the verses, I remembered how short they were, but they were short and powerful. And my wife and I and my children, my 7 children, we read the Psalms so many times, and the book of Proverbs so many times down through the years. And I give God the glory for those precious memories. Pray with your children. Let them hear them pray for you. And read the Bible to your children. Nobody else is going to do that. The public school system is going to read a homosexual book to them. Don't. You read the Bible to your children and you pray. And if you want my advice, keep your children at home and raise them yourself, lest the monsters get them. God bless you, my beloved. I'll see you next time. God bless you big. I appreciate you so much. Pray for me as I pray for thee. Pray for me as I pray for thee, as the music plays. Oh, yes. God bless you. God bless you, big. Carry on the gospel message to others. Give out the free books. Be a blessing to others. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah. Jesus.